Greetings and welcome to Trottle Up. This is a radio show and podcast that showcases critical thinking and complex problem solving. And it is designed to inform, delimit, empower, and amaze. Now, all aboard the Trottle Up Express, powered by High Velocity Reason, and I am your host, Captain Kevin Smith, U.S. Navy retired. Now, I'm a naval aviator and former squadron commander and Top Gun instructor as a naval aviator. And also, I'm a pioneer in the field of some aspects of critical thinking and complex problem solving, and of course, high velocity reason. Now, our tagline for the show is to accelerate beyond the ordinary. So we could say that we are not ordinary thinkers, you and I, but we are different and we are out of the box thinkers. Our motto for the show is to employ high velocity reason to achieve high octane performance. And in a nutshell, that basically means to stay out ahead of the problem. That's particularly important if we want to achieve success. Now, our mission statement for the show, and this changes a little bit from time to time, but this is a pretty good mission statement, is to provide our listening audience with a relatively easy yet effective way to strengthen our power of reason through the employment of critical thinking. Now, our website, the address here is throttleupradio.com. That's throttleupradio.com. That's the address for the website. And before we close on our introduction, I wanted to say that our audio engineering services is provided by Evergroove Studios, and they are located in Evergreen, Colorado, which is right outside of Denver on the west side. Highly recommend their services for anyone who wants to get involved with audio. It could be any kind of audio that you might have in mind, including music, by the way. Also, graphics artist services and media support is provided by Reflections Printing, and the gal is Jennifer. She heads up this organization, and she owns it as well. And Jennifer does a great job with all of our media support, is a fantastic graphics artist and media production specialist, and her phone number is 435-574-0422. That's 435-574-0422. And before we close the introduction, I want to say that the show is typically organized into three parts. So part one of Throttle Up is critical thinking, or an ongoing discussion of various aspects of critical thinking and complex problem solving. Part two is our storyboard, and the storyboard is a story of America, or a story of Americans, story of an individual. It could be any kind of story, but it all relates to trying to get our arms around this whole thing, which we call critical thinking and complex problem solving. And then part three is our radio essay. Now, our radio essay is typically a little bit more in-depth treatment of a particular subject. We do not intend for this to be boring. But for those who would like a little bit more info on certain things that we cover in part one and part two, then part three typically is a way for us to get a little bit further into a subject matter and understand it better. Okay, all aboard the Throttle Up Express. This is a place where all critical thinkers and complex problem solvers are welcome with open arms. And welcome back to to Throttle Up for this week. And again, I am your host, Captain Kevin Smith. And of course, this is the week for midterm elections. Actually, as we record this on Tuesday, they're being held today. And so we're going to be talking about the midterm elections. I don't know how they're going to turn out, but there's lots of things to consider. And we'll consider certain aspects of the socio-political environment. We typically don't spend a lot of time on the politics of today. We look at it in terms of what's going on from a different perspective. Things that have more meaning in our lives is something that we try to address ourselves to. So we're not a prototypical talk show, and we're not the purveyors of sensationalism. We are focused on, and we do support the idea of thoughtfulness, and most importantly, we support the idea of critical thinking. Critical thinking in our lives, critical thinking in our professional lives and our private lives is extremely important, and we've talked about that quite extensively over many years, and we will continue to do so because it is becoming more and more important. It is, in fact, particularly important today as we face some nefarious forces out there that are trying to get us to think certain ways, not promote the idea that we all are responsible for our own thoughts and we ought to think critically as a way of life. Now, Throttle Up is typically organized into three parts. Part one is a continuing discussion of critical thinking. So part one is entitled Critical Thinking. And part two is typically our storyboard and our story of America. And part three is the radio essay. Today, we are going to actually not do the entire organization. We'll try to stick to that as much as we can. We do have quite a bit of stuff to talk about with respect to this midterm election, what's going on in the country, how we think the country is responding to this electoral battlefield that is being waged in, I guess you could say, in this arena of ideas. Era in the lives of Americans, and also an era in many aspects of the globe that are engaged in information warfare. There are two competing ideas, and one is conservatism, or what we would call a free market enterprise system, and a limited government apparatus that would provide us with essential services only and not get necessarily involved in some of the stuff that many think the government ought to be involved in. And the competing idea to that is, it goes by a number of names. And I know it's that because of that, it's a little bit difficult to nail down. So let's cut through all of the rhetoric and define it in a way that we can find useful for us in our ability to clarify what is actually going on. So what is the idea that's competing with conservatism or capitalism or a free market private enterprise systems with a limited government structure, or governmental superstructure is very limited, and focused on a few essential items. Okay, that the competing idea falls under the general category of collectivism. It has been made popular in the past under terms like communism or socialism or national socialism or democratic socialism. They all basically mean the same thing. They're essentially one and the same. So national socialism and communism are pretty much one and the same. I guess you could say that there's some minor differences between the two, but they're just minor differences between the two. So we can call it, if you will, collectivism in terms of its overarching philosophical structure, which is kind of weak and ill-defined. And primarily we can call it communism if you like that term. I know that has a lot of negative connotations because communism basically has a bad name across human history. And we could call it also national socialism if you like that term better. But nevertheless, it is basically communism. So these two ideas are competing with one another. And I think the one way to break through the rhetoric is to represent a third option. Now, the third option is comes by or can be defined a number of ways. The best way, I think, to make it understandable, the third option is to employ critical thinking. So if we employ critical thinking and look at both of these competing ideas, all right, what does that give us and what conclusions can we make? There's some very important and very significant conclusions that we can make with respect to socialism and capitalism. What are the conclusions? The conclusions that we can make is that capitalism, first and foremost, is a poorly defined term. Actually, capitalism was a term coined initially by Karl Marx, and so socialism, or we can say neo-Marxism, has described a free market enterprise system using their terms. All right, so we probably ought to break out from that and call it something else. But I'd prefer to call it a free market enterprise system that employs private ownership. So free market private enterprises is what is one side, and the other side is the polar opposite of that, which is, of course, collectivism in its various forms. We could call it socialism or neo-Marxism. What can we say right up front? Well, I mean, that's what's at stake now in the midterm election to a certain extent. Whether or not one side can convince the voting Americans of their superiority, I would say that if I was asked to comment, and I guess I will comment on what side of this debate, the right or the left, what side has more support from the perspective of critical thinking. Now, clearly, and I'm going to say this objectively, all right, and clearly and objectively, the side that has the most support from a critical thinking standpoint is conservatism or the free market, private ownership, enterprise system operating under a limited governmental structure. that has the most support from a critical thinking standpoint. There's lots of reasons for that. And we'll get into that, and we will cover that through many of our efforts here on Throttle Up Radio. Now, of course, Throttle Up Radio is also a podcast. Our show is on six times every weekend, so it's a weekend show, but it's on both channels at Red State Talk Radio. And it's on six times every weekend, and so check the station for times and channel. And it's also available in podcast format. You can find it on iTunes as well as going to our website, which is throttleupradio.com, and the podcast is available there. All right, so what are we going to be talking about? Midterm elections, all right? And what has that got to do with anything? Well, everything. And so we're going to start off. In fact, there's a really an interesting, let's say, development, if you will, or movement, or things that are happening that don't get a lot of attention. And so we're gonna be mentioning them in some measure of detail. There are three things that are occurring. All right. The first thing is what we call, or what Newt Gingrich calls, Trump's America. What exactly is that? We've been covering that. We have some special editions about that, succeeding in Trump's America. This one, this show is not part of that necessarily, but we will continue. We're doing a series on Trump's America, or succeeding in Trump's America, and we'll continue that series next week. And I'm not sure how many shows will be part of that series. I think we're up to three now. My guess is there's going to be somewhere in the vicinity of four or five shows, possibly even six. I'm not sure about that yet, but we are doing a series on succeeding in Trump's America, which I think is particularly important. Okay, so what's going on? Well, we have, of course, the midterm election. We have a couple of things going on. We have Trump's America and the phenomena of the Trump rallies. All right, that is a very important aspect of what's going on from a socioeconomic standpoint or within the political spectrum. Also, we have the walkaway movement, which is gathering steam, and we have Blexit, B-L-E-X-I-T, Blexit movement, first proposed by, I believe, Candace Owens, possibly Charlie Kirk, too, in Turning Point. But I'm not sure about that. But anyway, we do have that. And so we have a number of things going on that I think are particularly important, and they probably show some trends that are occurring. We also have what's going on internationally, where more and more countries are electing their leaders based upon a renewed sense of patriotism, a new sense of nationalism, and a restriction on the open borders policy, and a rethinking entirely of this whole idea of mass immigration. And so there are things going on that are particularly important as we consider this time and place in America, and we consider our midterm elections. So the first thing I'm going to be doing here is I'm going to be talking about the midterm elections, and then put it in the context of what's going on in the political arena. Okay, so this happens to be a article in the Wall Street Journal, and I use that publication from time to time, as you probably have noticed if you've listened to these shows. In the past, you probably have noticed that I use it because it's a particularly thoughtful source. It's a good source of information. It's not always accurate in my view, but it. But I think they try to be. I think they work hard to be accurate and objective. Anyway, this yes, opinion piece. Well, actually, it wasn't. It was a page one article, or is in the Wall Street Journal Tuesday, and it's the title of it is Trump Obama make final pitches on eve of midterm elections. The president and his predecessor hope to cement legacies that could hinge on Tuesday's outcome, election 2018. All right, so this article starts off by saying that as the midterm election campaign barreled to a close, President Trump warned that Republican losses would roll back what he billed as his achievements in office, while Democrats called for a rejection of the divisive politics they said he practices. Okay, well, you know, as you well know, I use these sources, but they're excerpts of a particular news source, and I make comments. So excerpts and commentary is the I guess you could say that's my style of doing things in this talk radio format. So what exactly do they mean by divisive politics they said he practices? All right, let me continue. But that's a good question to ask us. So what are they talking about? Is this something new? Are they accusing other, or have they accused other presidents of the same thing? It's a very good question. All right, so let me continue with this article. I would suggest that we call him appropriately using his title. All right, President Trump. President Trump made a final sprint Monday through three states crucial to preserving his Republican majority in the Senate and Ohio, Missouri, Indiana, with polls showing Democrats within reach of the 23 seats they need to wrest control of the House. Mr. Trump said the party would unravel economic gains the U.S. has enjoyed on his watch, and he claimed, without evidence, that Democrats would open the floodgates to illegal immigrants. Well, I would take issue with that that phrase, without evidence. You know, if the Democrats want to do away with ICE, I think President Trump has a particularly valid point here. So it's rather disappointing seeing this in the Wall Street Journal. All right, let me continue. Keep the movement going tomorrow, he told supporters in Cleveland. The Democrat agenda is a socialist nightmare for our country. The Republican agenda is the American dream. That's a quote from Donald Trump. This article continues by saying, deploying a seasoned campaigner of their own, Democrats turn to former President Obama to mobilize his old coalition. Now, I would say right up front that I believe the old coalition is crumbling. When we see things walk away movement and Blexit and other things, I think his old coalition is crumbling. Nevertheless, let me continue with this article. It says that Mr. Obama appeared at a campaign office in Northern Virginia on Monday to thank volunteers, as he has done throughout the campaign season. All right, so Mr. Obama pointed out that the character of the country is on ballot. What kind of politics we expect is on the ballot. Okay, so it's the message is kind of muddy. The character of the country. So what is wrong with the character of the country? So, you know, it's not really well-defined here. Anyway, the article continues, heading into the midterms in which early voting has rivaled that of presidential elections, Democrats sought to check Mr. Trump's ambitions by capturing at least the House, while Republicans look to preserve GOP congressional majorities for the duration of Mr. Trump's term. Congressional candidates hoping to focus on local concerns were diverted by national spectacles. It says that a bruising confirmation battle for Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh and a migrant caravan that Mr. Trump cast as a danger to the U.S. All right, so those are the two nationally significant items that are occurring, notwithstanding the fact that there are lots of local issues that are being discussed in these localized elections, whether state or congressional district. Okay, so far so good. I do think, and many people have expressed the opinion that the Supreme Court justice battle certainly galvanized and energized the Republicans. Many of them are Trump supporters, and they have become more energized because they see what the other side is up to and what they are willing to do. And that I think what they were trying to do, in my opinion, was nothing short of a national disgrace. And I think Kavanaugh expressed that also. The article continues, anticipating the House would flip, Republican operatives began second-guessing Mr. Trump's strategy by putting the illegal immigration front and center in the run-up to the election. Okay, so, but if, in fact, we have a caravan, you know, what are you going to do? Are you going to ignore it as the president? I mean, I don't get a lot of this stuff that's going on. I mean, it's to me, it doesn't, you know, it just doesn't pass the critical thinking test at all. Anyway, the article continues. At the Cleveland rally on Monday, Mr. Trump attacked the group of Central American migrants heading to the Southwest U.S. border by saying Democrats are inviting caravan after caravan. Isn't that nice? Of illegal aliens to flood into our country and overwhelm our communities, he said. Okay, now that is a legitimate point to make. All right, where are these people going? Why are they coming? How is it that they are arriving at our southern borders? All right, so that's a very legitimate point. Some people say that showcasing the nation's economic gains would have held a broader appeal, but I would suggest that President Trump has done so. I have watched many of his rallies, videos of his rallies, and so I would say that he continues to do so. All right, so. Anyway, this article, kind of wanders around and is trying to make sense out of this, out of this election, but it doesn't really help us much to understand how it's going to occur, what's going to happen, particularly in the House, what's going to happen in the Senate. It doesn't really help us there. It just sort of like talks about some general things. All right, so I'm through reading this. My final comments on this article and the final comments on the election that the midterm election that's being held today. I think that the Republicans and the Republican base, if you will, the conservatives within that political sphere, I think they are energized. I think they are clearly energized. If you look at the Trump rallies, they are enthusiastic. They are very supportive of the what's going on in the country right now, and they're very supportive of President Trump. And so that's a very powerful thing to have on your side. There is power, there is energy, and there is, in fact, enthusiasm. And here's something to consider from a critical thinking standpoint. What on the Democratic side can they do or are they doing that could draw the same crowds that Trump is drawing? And the answer is they don't have anything that can draw that number of people. We're talking about things like 95,000-100,000 people wanting to go to Trump rallies for these local or state political events. We're talking about hundreds of thousands of people are trying to get into these rallies. What is the Democrats doing that could rival or is rivaling such a political phenomena? And the answer is nothing. They're not doing anything. They're just, it's the same old stuff. They're just trying to demonize. They have been reduced to name calling, and that's about all they've got. And is that going to draw crowds to political events? I don't think so. I don't think that's happening, right? And so if that's all they have is name calling, and the Republicans have enthusiasm for Make America Great Again, then I don't think that they're going to be very successful during this midterm election. I'm talking about the Democrats. I don't think the Democrats are going to be very successful during this midterm election. Now, what does that mean specifically? Well, I don't know how many seats they're going to pick up in the House of Representatives. I don't know that. I doubt very much if they're going to pick up very many. They might pick up a few. I don't see them picking up more than just a few. So the House of Representatives, I believe, is going to stay Republican. The Senate certainly will stay Republican. The Senate, there is very likely that the Senate, the Republicans will pick up a number of seats in the Senate that they were not even aware was in play until recently. And so the Senate, the Republicans, I believe, will pick up more seats in the Senate than they have now. And so that's what's going to happen now. Why is that? Well, because there is not only a national trend, but there is a global trend that is occurring in the world. And so that global trend is away from these socialist ideas, away from socialism, away from globalism, and and the global trend is in the direction that Donald Trump is taking this country. And so I see that as an important aspect of what's going on, not only in the world, but in this country. Let me read you something. This is really kind of interesting. And then after this, we'll take a quick break. This is in the Wall Street Journal in the section called Notable and Quotable. And it's a very short piece from an interview by Christiana Amanpour interviewing Jon Stewart on CNN, October 30th. Amanpour. We are all caught up in this sort of daily Trump fest. We, the journalists, believe that our job is to navigate the truth and to do the fact-checking and all the rest of it. Stewart, but I think the journalists have taken it personally. They are personally wounded and offended by this man. He baits them and they dive in. And what he's done well, I thought, is appeal to their own narcissism, to their own ego. The journalists stand up and say, "We are noble. We are honorable. How dare you?" And now he has changed the conversation to not what his policies are, but to other things about who is right. And he is able to tune out everything else and get people just focused on the fight. And the final thing that Jon Stewart says is that he is going to win that fight. And so Donald Trump is very clever in the way he is handling the media. All right. So that's a particularly important aspect of what's going on in the political arena. And we will take a short break and then we will continue with some really, really interesting stuff that's coming out of Rush Limbaugh. Okay, welcome back to Throttle Up. This is part two of Throttle Up for this week. And, you know, of course, this is the midterm election week, and part two is our storyboard. So, we'll continue our discussion about this midterm election. But the storyboard contains something rather interesting, and I think this is very impactful in terms of what's going on socio-politically in this country. And I'm going to read something that I thought was especially interesting and relevant to today. And this comes from Rush Limbaugh, and this is the Limbaugh newsletter that he sends out, which I subscribe to. And it's really it's something that's been going on, and a number of commentators are picking up on this. I don't know if it was started by Rush Limbaugh, but the theme is being picked up or being articulated by a number of people. Rush is one. Jesse Waters is second one. Tucker Carlson is the third one. And the list goes on. There may be a bunch of others. But anyway, the theme is rather interesting, which is the Democratic Party unraveling. The title of this piece by Rush Limbaugh is Democrats Empowering Psycho Disorders. Now, before I start reading some excerpts and making some comments about it, there was a interview recently. Newt Gingrich was being interviewed. Let me think. It was on, Mark Levin's Fox program. I think it was last weekend. Anyway, Newt was talking about this psychological disorder that is affecting many in the Democratic Party. And I think maybe he started this conversation. I'm not sure. But anyway, a lot of folks are picking up on it, which is probably a good thing, because I do think that there is a very serious thing going on in the Democratic community. The Democrats are exhibiting some very serious psychological disorders, and I'm just wondering what's the outcome of this. This is certainly not a healthy way to carry on any kind of political platform or party. So the party is in serious trouble. So Rush starts off by saying this: we are seeing a very public meltdown of a certain disturbed demographic. These are activists, politically far left, many of them associated with universities, nonprofits, and the so-called intellectual community. He says that they are losing it because Donald J. Trump is still president of the United States, and every day that they wake up and he's still president of the United States, their syndrome gets worse. There is something wrong with them, Rush Limbaugh says. No, really, I'm not being flip. He says, I am saying these are people who are not well. They are not emotionally healthy. That's been my assessment for quite some time, but it was a column by Jim Garagity of National Review that crystallized my thinking. Okay, so he takes part of this this article and he recounts it, but like I said, more and more people are recognizing that something is not right. These people are engaged in some kind of initiative that is very disturbing. That is, you could say that without too much hyperbole, you could say that it's borderline psychosis, that it is bipolar, it is all kinds of psychologically debilitating conditions. You have people that are shrill, screaming, they are clawing at the doors of the Supreme Court. These are not normal people, all right? They're not engaged in normal human activities. These are disturbed people, and maybe it's very possible that the Democratic Party is in fact a disturbed party. They are mentally disturbed. They are populated by people who are in fact mentally disturbed. Now, my question here is that how is that beneficial? If your party is populated by extreme radicals, if they are all mentally disturbed individuals, how is that useful to the long-term viability of any party or any political movement? I don't know. I mean, that's a very good question. I don't know how that is beneficial. But the fact that there are more and more people who believe that the Democratic Party or the party that they or the political philosophy that they represent, it could be other similar type parties within Europe and Asia and so forth. How is it that they think that this provides them with long-term benefits and viability? That's a great question. I don't know, but let me continue with this. Rush says that this article is right on the money. In fact, he says, I think it explains much of liberalism. These people have been made to believe they're victims. Whatever is wrong in their lives is somebody else's fault. The Democratic Party has lassoed these people and has promised to get even with the villains who are responsible for their mistreatment in life. Get even with the villains who are the cause of their unhappiness. Those villains happen to be white male Republicans. All right, so let me continue. Get even with the church, get even with the cops, get even with the Koch brothers, or whoever epitomizes capitalism. Now you see why these people demand tax increases on the rich. They don't care whether it helps or hurts themselves. Doesn't matter as long as villains get punished. The Democratic Party membership wants its leaders to scourge enemies. I'm continuing here with this article by Rush Limbaugh. Once they set their targets, once they put someone or some group in the crosshairs, destruction is the only possible outcome they'll accept. Because rage feeds rage, and demanding punishment is the elixir to their minds. They're certain it will make them feel better. The thing is, it never does. Rush goes on to say, he quotes this, he says, this is a quote, divorce your Republican husbands, put your finger in their salad. Are these rational solutions to anything? None of it is sane, Rush says, but these are people whose emotional problems have been validated by the Democratic Party, which uses them to organize political battles. Then these maladies find their way into the university curriculum in the form of gender studies and intersectionality majors and anti-cultural appropriation degrees and whatnot, which in turn feeds the insanity. Rush goes on to say, how long has the media been telling them that it's only a matter of time until Donald Trump self-destructs? Since Trump came down the escalator 3.5 years ago, June of 2015, the media and noted experts in the Washington establishment have been predicting Trump's political demise every day since then. But it never happens. Instead, it's his critics who self-destruct. Trump's opponents melt down now practically every day over the fact that Trump isn't melting down. Nothing is going their way. And now they've lost the Supreme Court seat after trying their late October surprise to destroy Brett Kavanaugh. The result, Republicans are more unified than ever. every effort they mount to get rid of Donald Trump has backfired. And these efforts have been unprecedented. There has been a deep state silent coup involving the CIA, the FBI, the Justice Department, the Obama regime, the Clinton campaign, MI5 and MI6 in Great Britain, and other international intelligence agencies, the national and international media, the entertainment industry, the big tech platforms, and that's only a partial list. Rush Limbaugh says, my friends, this has been one of the most concerted efforts to disqualify and overthrow a duly constituted election we've ever seen, not just in our lifetimes, but in the history of this country. And Trump has survived and thrived. The plot has been exposed for the fraud that it is, and now the legal exposure is boomeranging back on the plotters. They're running out of weapons, and in the process, they're losing their minds. The Democratic lunatics, deranged, philosophically screwed up base is unable to cope with the triumph of President Donald Trump, which is why, and this is key, ladies and gentlemen, the Democrats have strategically become the party of anger and hate. Okay, so that is some, but not the complete article, but some of the stuff that Rush Limbaugh has recently written about the Democratic Party and their descent into madness. I would suggest that this is a legitimate concern. It ought to be a legitimate concern of all of us. When a party descends into madness, nothing good is going to come of it, and nothing good is going to happen. And why they have allowed themselves to be taken over by lunatics is, of course, I mean, that's a great question. I don't know if they intended that or not. I don't know if they think that's going to be successful. I don't see how it can be successful. But apparently they think it will be. And how they can think that is beyond me, because it just simply doesn't. It doesn't correspond to anything I know of with respect to critical thinking. And so it just does not subscribe to any sort of critical thinking. It just strictly emotions, and it's a negatively generated set of emotions that they're trying to capture somebody's attention using these negative emotions and negative catchphrases. All right, so that completes another Throttle Up. That is our take on the midterm elections. I hope you enjoyed listening. We certainly have enjoyed being here on this side of the microphone, and we thoroughly enjoy this whole idea of Throttle Up Radio, and so thank you, and good luck to all of you. And before I go, I would like to acknowledge a few people. I'd like to thank my listening audience for being here, and I would like to thank Red State Talk Radio for providing us an opportunity for each and every weekend to put on this radio show that we call Throttle Up. And I would like to thank all of you veterans out there. Thank you for your service, and I would like to thank the families of the veterans. Thank you for supporting this noble cause. And I would like to thank all of you on active duty in the Guard and the Reserve. Thank you for serving this great country of ours. And with that, I would like to say goodbye, and we will see you all again next week.